Good morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, we hear one of my favorite, if not my all-time favorite, gospel reading, the story of the publican and the Pharisee. The story itself is quite short, but contained within is a richness and a depth that allows it to speak to us on many different levels. I'll try my hardest to behave and only look at one or two of these, but I can't make any promises. The publican and the Pharisee parable is simultaneously a portrait of what our prayer should look like and a portrait of a proper way of life. Encased in the character of the Pharisee is a sketch of all the ways that we think we can connect with God, but in reality, we are praying to ourselves. In the character of the publican, we see how we can connect with God properly and attentively. Think about how the two men prayed. The text itself says that two men went up to the temple to pray. They ascended to the place where it was known that you could connect with God and pray to Him. That one word, up, signifies that the temple, just like our church, is set aside for us to talk to God in. First, let's take a look at the Pharisee. Those of you who have heard the Gospels preached throughout your lives will recognize that word, Pharisee. That's right. Jesus' favorite brood of vipers makes an appearance here. Many of Christ's parables, this one included, feature two things. First, a comparison between behavior that will get you closer to God and behavior that will drive you farther away from Him. And the second thing is that the characters of Christ's parables often do things that they are not expected to. Remember, during Christ's life, Jerusalem was occupied by the Romans. The environment was very tribal, not unlike our country today, meaning that the Jews stuck close together and the Romans did exactly the same. The Pharisee would be, according to most people's expectations, the person to demonstrate correct and right behavior. He was a Jew. He was very conscious of the law of Moses. He was one of the tribe. However, in this story, his arrogance is as apparent as it is off-putting. Christ says that the Pharisee prayed with himself, completely shutting God out of the process. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Clearly, the Pharisee is obedient to the law through his actions. He is doing what God asked of him. But let's pause there. God is mentioned one time in that prayer. The Pharisee mentions himself three times. No glory is given to God. The passage is all about how the Pharisee is better than everybody else because he follows God. He even compares himself to the publican, saying, "Thank God I'm not like that guy." Because of the layout of the temple of the time, the Pharisee would be standing in the middle of the structure, closer to the altar. So great was his arrogance and presumption that he was right with God. The Pharisee makes it very clear. All that he has done in his life is for his own glory. God has no more place in his life because the Pharisee has decided that God is not necessary. His fasting and tithing is utterly worthless because his arrogance has made them so. I imagine that God sadly granted the Pharisee what he wanted. God sees no room for himself, and because he respects our free will, he will not impose himself on us. Now let's flip to the publican. He would have been hated by the other Jews in an occupied Jerusalem. He collected taxes for the Romans from his own tribe, his own people. His very title would have caused others to spit in disgust at him, to curse his name, to actively run away from him. He was the lowest of the low, higher only than those that suffered from disease. He steps up into the temple and, as Christ says, was standing afar off. That means he would have been standing where nobody could notice him easily. This man, who had every reason to be hated by his tribe, the Jews, the tribe that Christ was a part of, a man that had no incentive to show proper behavior, gives us the perfect example of humility. He won't even look up to heaven. He won't even lift his eyes. Instead, he beats at his breast, aware of his distance from God and his need for God. He says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Humility in the most unlikely of places. Humility from one of the most hated types of people in the ancient city of Jerusalem. The proper method of prayer, the proper way to approach God, the best wavelength to talk to our God on, that of humility. Jesus finishes by noting how both men went down. There's that directional aspect again. They went up to the temple, a symbol of trying to elevate their souls in their prayers. After they are finished, they go down, their souls leaving that place of elevation. One leaves unjustified, not right with God, God having not heard his prayer in earnest. It's not hard to guess which one that was. However, the publican goes down, as Christ says, justified. He is right with God. He is forgiven. His humble display of repentance is the prayer that God will hear in earnest and bless. Christ finishes by saying, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. My friends, it is not our job to crown ourselves with glory. Never mind that whatever glory we try and crown ourselves with will be worldly glory that fades away. Just ask LeBron James, who has called himself the greatest basketball player of all time, only to have others shun away from his arrogance and continue to say, nope, Michael's better than you. It is the job of Christ, the true King of glory, and to whom is due all glory, honor, and worship, to bestow these gifts upon us. Glory to God that he does so repeatedly and freely, despite all of our shortcomings. All that is required is the inward humility displayed by the publican. All we need to do is tune our spiritual radios to the wavelength of God. God operates on the channel of humility. This is where we can find him in abundance, and this is where we can hear what his will for us is. Today, it's my prayer that we remember that the glory of this world is but a speck of dust compared to the glory of the kingdom of God. Whatever temptation we have to fill ourselves up with the glory of the world and let the adoration and accolades of others go to our heads, let us shun that in favor of filling ourselves up with Christ. Christ is the one who would have walked over to the publican and said, you are forgiven, rise. Whenever someone humbly comes to Christ in Scripture to be healed, he tells them to rise after he's healed them. He tells them to stand and look him in the face, because he has brought us up out of love. The Pharisee, sadly, would not experience this love from the Lord. He was too busy being in love with himself. Our God is the only one who needs to see what we do. Nobody else needs to see what we do. I pray that all of us leave our church today justified like the publican. Amen.